Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome to the Big Blue Insider on another spectacular fall day. And man, would we love to have another one. Coming up Saturday, that would just fit the bill perfectly, wouldn't it? Rained on us just a little bit last Saturday. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. That would just be the perfect ending to another football week. We're going to talk a lot of football tonight. Freddie Maggard will join us, and we'll break down, obviously, the Florida game, but look ahead to LSU and to the SEC in general. We're also going to talk to Trevin Wallace. He's the man, of course, who plucked the blocked field goal out of the air and made everybody's highlight reel by running for a touchdown. So, but we have to begin with some ultra-large news, probably bigger for Billy than any of us. No, I'm not talking about the new soccer team. I'm talking about the golf match coming up Thanksgiving weekend. Only 12 holes, Billy. I'm not sure why. But DeChambeau and Koepka, I guess, what will this decide? It'll decide everything. Well, I mean, why? It's fun. It's TV. It's ratings. It's money. Will they stop bitching at each other after this? Why?
Oh, it's just the new age of entertainment, Dick. It's the evolution of pay-per-view. You can take my money for this Bryson DeChambeau Brooks Koepka match. And apparently at this Vegas golf course that they're playing at the day after Thanksgiving, 12 of the 18 holes on this course have unique water amenities, whatever that means. So look for some colorful hazards or maybe some like wacky holes when it comes to this match. But
water amenities when I played golf was where I would deposit my golf balls automatically. There was no question about it. So Billy texted that to me earlier, and my head just about popped off. I bet yours did too.
I'm in but I don't hate DeChambeau as much as I used to, Dick. He was good. He was good for the Ryder Cup. I think he became an American favorite that weekend.
Now, who didn't see that coming?
I mean, we said that, I think.
Well, 50% of us did. Uh-huh. and 50% of us scoffed about
it. He drove the green on the very first hole and then made the putt for Eagle on a 350-yard par 4.
Which you knew he was
should not be possible, but it's damn impressive.
Well, and that's just it. See, prior to the Ryder Cup, you hated the fact that he could do that.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to reinvent the game.
He was doing it for himself, right? Not his country.
Ryder Cup is entirely different. So, all right. Well, we've got plenty of time to digest that and roll back to it. But we do need to talk a little bit of soccer. And I am not a huge soccer fan. I think if you listen to the show, you know that. But I hope it succeeds. I really do. For a very simple reason, a professional sports franchise in a city, one that is done properly, you know, with class, the it puts a good product on the field, on the pitch, on the ice, whatever, is good for the city. I was telling Billy, we used to have a hockey team here, the Thoroughblades. They did a great job. The owners of that team put a good, with one exception, one year they stunk. Otherwise, they put good teams on the ice. And it was at Rupp Arena, so everything was first class. It was really, really well done. Sadly, for business reasons, they moved to Cleveland. But that was good for the city. How good have the Legends been for Lexington, whether as a minor league team or an independent team? It adds to the fabric of your city. If you don't like sports, I get that. If you don't like sports, you're not listening to me right now. So maybe you stumbled across our show and you're about to stumble away. But no, it just makes your city more viable. Gets your name out there across the nation, other markets that have a USL League One franchise. And Billy, you came here from Louisville, my hometown, and I've been obviously back since the soccer team took root over there. People love it. Good facility and a good product.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very popular in Louisville. I don't think that's because Louisville has a huge, a group of people that are yearning for a soccer team. I think the soccer team came and it made fans of the people already there. I think it shows a great sense of community in Louisville. And the new stadium is beautiful.
Yeah.
I've seen that the people that made this announcement are looking to purchase some land near Rupp Arena to make into a 5,000 to 10,000 person stadium. I would love that, Dick. You talk about some of the other professional sports that have been in this city. I feel like this has a chance at success. And I'm not going to say, because soccer is the fastest growing sport in the country. How many
for the
years?
Last yeah. 30 years.
No, exactly. It's not because of that reason. It's because it can sense.
It is popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, I've said many times, and I've broadcast soccer. I've done UK matches. I've done the SEC Women's Championship on the radio, in fact. If you've ever been to a UK soccer match, men or women, the atmosphere is tremendous over there. You know, and they have good teams. That helps, obviously. But the atmosphere is terrific. It's a lot of fun. And they play good at soccer. So, yeah, I think this will be good. It will be. And this is a legit league. It's not like one of those spring football leagues that pops up, and I mean American football, and then goes away after eight games because they've run out of money or whatever. It's not contingent upon a TV contract like too many pro sports leagues are. The U.S. League, United Soccer League, is the third highest tier of pro soccer in the U.S. The top, of course, is Major League Soccer, MLS. Then you've got three descending tiers governed by USL. USL Championship, that's where Louisville is. USL League One, that's where Lexington will be. And USL League Two. And it's fixed. So you win your conference, or you win your league, you're not going to get promoted.
Oh,
conversely,
man.
Yeah, there's no relegation. If you come in last, you won't be dropped to the next league. I know a lot of people like that. Sounds like you do, too.
Yeah, we should do that in the SEC, Dick.
And drop them where?
We dropped Vanderbilt 5 years ago. We could have had Oklahoma already in the conference.
Well, yeah, you're counting only on football. People love to rip on Vandy, and they forget about other sports. You know, national championships in baseball more than once. Final Four appearance in women's basketball. They've won a couple of conference titles in men's basketball, you know. Just because they're not good in football, the SEC snobs.
But what sport makes all the money for the other sports?
That's fine.
They beat UConn. I'll give them that.
They did. They beat the Huskies. But that doesn't mean they're not good for the league. You got to have somebody to roll in every now and then and get well. Anyhow, USL coming in 2023. They look for communities that range in population from 150,000 to 1 million. And, of course, Fayette County now is up to nearly 323,000. So, they join teams like Central Valley in Fresno, California, Northern Colorado, Chattanooga, Fort Lauderdale, Greenville, South Carolina, I think won the championship last year. Greenville is one of my favorite cities, Greenville, South Carolina. I've not been to North Carolina, but Greenville, South Carolina. Arlington, Texas. Suburb basically of Dallas. It's a huge city, but basically serves as a suburb of Dallas. Outside of Omaha, Papillon, Nebraska, Richmond, Virginia, Toronto. How about that? Tucson, Arizona. Man, if they go to all these places, they're going to have put together a pretty good travel budget. The champions of the USL League One, like I said, was Greenville last year. North Texas in 2019. 2020 was Greenville. Last year's was canceled because of COVID. I hope they come up with a good nickname. And I'm not big on nicknames of like a single entity. Like I like Chattanooga Red Wolves. I think that's pretty cool. That's a good name.
Nothing to do with horses, please.
What do you have against horses?
How many professional teams in the city have been named after horses?
Well, let's see. Legends, no. Thoroughbreds, yes. Wildcats, no. What else?
I don't know. I feel like we need to get away from the horses.
Well, it would be great. If they could come up with something cool on its own, yeah, I'd be all right with that.
I heard something earlier. It's Kentucky FC, KFC.
Ooh.
Huh?
As in football club?
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. Okay, how about the chickens, the kicking chickens for soccer?
That's another one I've heard.
The KFC kicking chickens. Why not?
Oh, I don't know. Just don't wear red and white.
Just, I mean, the promotional value alone.
See, that's what I'm thinking.
Staggering. Like, staggering.
We can do some double entendres.
I think you're right with that. Real subtle. Wendell, I knew this would excite you, brother.
I am here as the resident soccer correspondent for Big Blue Insider.
Good.
The Keeneland FC Sprinting Bourbons. That's yeah, they tied in usually in the soccer world with something like Racing Sporting 76ers. You know, it's different in soccer than it is the rest of the sporting world, and they come up with some funky names that's really cool.
Yeah.
The Uniteds, the, you know, that sort of thing. The thing that really is going to have an impact on is youth soccer, because they're going to have academies, they're going to have youth soccers to develop kids. Currently in Lexington, where I'm at right now with a kid in a soccer practice, Lexington FC is the dominant club in Central Kentucky, and they pull from all around to get kids to come play, and they have some of the top teams in the region and sometimes some of the top in the country. It's going to really shake up the landscape in youth soccer, and kids are going to get a chance to play if they do the academies like I think they will, get to play nationwide against some of the best competition in the country. Of course, it may end up watering down some of the other teams in the area.
Yeah.
But it's going to really have an effect there. And they don't, unlike AAU, where they're trying to find kids to go to college, they're trying to find kids to play professionally
right.
when they do the academies. It's a whole lot different than soccer.
But Wendell?
Louisville.
Wendell, will it draw? What will the gate? What will the crowds be like? What's your prediction?
I didn't think that baseball would draw much in Lexington, and it has. It's not been super successful. I didn't think it would work in Louisville, and it's been really successful in Louisville.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like anything else. You never know till you try. I hope it works.
Yeah.
But I don't mean to poo-poo it, but I'm not very optimistic because Lexington has 400,000 people. Soccer is not huge like basketball and baseball
right.
and football. If you ask me, soccer in the region has kind of waned in recent years. It used to be much bigger, I feel like, but we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations, Wendell. That's one for you.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Yeah, it is. Go Cats and Cats by 90 this Saturday.
All right, brother. Wendell, not a baseball fan. I get that. You know, baseball has succeeded here. It varies from year to year. Depends on how good the team is. But, yeah, it's 323,000 people in Fayette County and then the surrounding counties. Yeah, you get up around. You get up over 400,000. The thing about Louisville is metropolitan Louisville is a million plus. So it's going to draw from in and around. But, anyhow, I don't think they expect to draw the way they draw in Louisville.
I don't think we can go with kicking chickens either, Dick.
Why?
I don't know. Just, can you imagine putting on a uniform and playing for the kicking chickens every
week? Well, the uniform doesn't have to look like a chicken.
You don't
have to have feathers coming off the uniform.
We can do better in kicking chickens.
You know what? I'll make a prediction to you. If they did this and they gave like free food to the players at KFC, they'd love it.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I feel like we can work some imaging and likeness deals with chickens.
Thank you.
Some of these players.
Don't give up on it. I know it's a long shot. Don't give up on it.
I like Wendell's idea about bourbon. Maybe something like that. We'll think of something.
Yeah. Okay. Bourbon, that'd be all right, too. I think the players, free product there, the players would go for.
Avoid the horses. No thoroughbreds. No ponies.
Yeah, I doubt if they go that way.
I'll go to a game, though. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and talk more football, NFL, college, you name it. How vital is this game for the employment future of Ed Orgeron? That's the question that will be hanging over Kroger Field Saturday night. That and more coming up here on 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Ed Orgeron indeed was. He's a Cajun. So it seems he's right at home with that head coaching job at LSU and obviously won a national title. But what have you done for me lately, bruh? Nothing much, really. Two games over 500. And evidently, Billy, I didn't see tweets. I saw the one tweet from the idiot who said all the calls against Florida were bad and the game should be – the SEC should give the game to Florida, should just go back and reverse the final score and give it to Florida. But I did not see it, but read about criticism of Dan Mullins and, you know, you can't lose to Kentucky, you just can't, that kind of thing. What if LSU loses now back-to-back games, first Auburn at home and then Kentucky? Is he done?
No, he's not. I mean –
Well, they'll let him finish the year.
Yeah, I just feels like a pretty high standard that we're holding him to, though.
Yeah, well, that's LSU, man.
How many bad years has he had in a row, though?
This would be he's 8-7 since winning the national title.
Okay, I don't think that's a fireable offense. But
I don't either.
LSU standards are high.
Well, yeah, we're talking about LSU.
You know, I thought that game last week versus Auburn was more about Auburn than it was LSU. Honestly, I mean, Bo Nix was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, running around like Mike Vick back there. But, I mean, no doubt LSU should be playing better. I think last year they definitely got hit by some players sitting out.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, realistically, who are you going to go after? I mean, I think he's beloved by the city he coaches in.
Well, I think he's beloved unless he – I think he'll be beloved if he starts winning again.
I don't know. I've seen videos of him running around shirtless.
Well, sure you have.
Throughout the bayou.
But he's been doing that forever. Everywhere he's gone, he's done that.
It was only 2 years ago.
Exactly. Two long years. Scott Woodward is the AD there. He has hired big names in the past. And keep in mind, he did not hire Ed Orgeron. And he has hired, like I said, Chris Peterson, got him away from Boise State when a lot of other schools couldn't, got him to Washington. He's the guy who brought in his buddy, Jimbo Fisher, got him away from Florida State, threw a lot of money at him, hired Buzz Williams away from Virginia Tech to coach basketball. Likes to throw money at people. So don't you think he hired Kim Mulkey away from Baylor to coach women's basketball? So according to one thing I've read, maybe it's James Franklin at Penn State. Maybe it's Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. I don't know. Money won't be an issue.
Well, he was an interim coach at one point, so there may be some credence to that.
And he was an interim coach at, at USC?
Well, both.
Yeah.
USC, LSU.
That's correct.
That's how he won the job was.
Yeah.
Taking over for Les Miles.
And what's interesting is at USC, he was very successful as an interim, did not get the job there. But he got it done with not just Burrow, but Brady up in the offensive coordinator booth.
Joe Brady, who's at the Panthers now.
Right. Some people think maybe they'd reach out to him, but others believe he'll stay in the NFL. Man, it's a big game. It's a big game for so many reasons. And it's obviously going to be big for the Wildcats to stay undefeated and prove that they can knock off of Florida and then come back and be ready mentally and emotionally, not just physically, to play another big SEC game. And we will talk about that coming up in just a few minutes with Freddie Maggard. Guy has broken it down many a football game for us. Here on 630 WLAP.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. Yeah, you think I let it go, young man.
Walk-up music as requested by our next guest. He's one of our faves and has been on my show many, many times, going back quite a ways. And he and I go back to when he was a player at Kentucky, and he knows what it's like to win a big game now and then, just as the Wildcats did Saturday night. Freddie Maggard joins us now. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing well, Gabe. How are you doing?
We are good. Thank you so much. And you, I bet you were about to bust on Saturday night, weren't you?
I was a nervous wreck, man. I tell you, I watched a greater part of the fourth quarter from my porch through my living room window, dodging my cat Daisy to try to see the TV, and I couldn't watch. I mean, I kind of got a glimpse and see which team was celebrating, and then all of a sudden the game's over. Then I felt better.
Are all your couches intact, or did any of them catch fire?
Well, I burnt one of the three, so I still got two left. I should be good to go.
Well, let's get right down to it before I ask you about LSU. How did Kentucky manage to pull this off, Freddie, with such a disparity from offense to defense? And as we've pointed out, you get that when you score quickly, as they did with Wandale, and you score on special teams, as they did with Trevin Wallace, who's going to be our guest in the next hour. So that has a lot to do with it, but there's more to it than that.
Yeah, I thought going into the game, Kentucky needed to have one extraordinary play on special teams, and that happened with the block kick and return for a touchdown by the talented true freshman Trevin Wallace. But defensively, that was one of, if not the best, four-quarter performance that I've seen from a Kentucky defense. I still say the second half against Missouri, keeping them without a first down in the third and fourth quarter, was pretty spectacular. But what Brad White has done with that unit is it's a beautiful thing to watch. I know a lot of people say, well, Kentucky won ugly. No, that's not right. It was a beautiful defensive football game that Kentucky, it's its personality. You know, we've talked about offense all through the offseason, but this team is all about defense and running the football, and that's the personality, and that's what Kentucky did, just enough offensively to get the win. But you stop Florida eight chances inside the 10-yard line. You don't allow a touchdown for 53 minutes. Nights like that don't happen a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't care how good your defense is. You know, even the 85 Bears had an off day against Miami, if you remember. But
that's right.
You know, a sustained period of 53 minutes with no touchdowns to that Florida offense. Came in averaging 522 yards on the ground, gave up 170. Spectacular performance by the Kentucky defense.
And this is a defense, and you mentioned being worried going in, but, you know, thin at linebacker and numbers, but not a lot of experience at defensive back. But it doesn't look it right now.
It doesn't, because I've always said this team is so veteran-laden in the third level, and that allows you to play a lot of games within the game, that with Corker, Asian, and Robinson, that you can play a lot of pre-snap games with opposing offenses. The corners, as thin as they are, have played really well. Mosley, Dort, Valentine played well. Josh Pascal had the game of his life, and then his two linebackers are playing like you expect two senior high-level SEC linebackers to play. One thing that jumped out at me was all the youth on the defensive line. Justin Rogers getting 43 snaps.
Yeah.
Josiah Hayes playing. I thought Ripka looked pretty special at times. I mean, they're still got a long way to go, and Anwar Stewart does a fantastic developing those players. But I thought Ripka jumped out to me on film to having the potential to be a really good one down the line.
You mentioned him, but speak, if you will, of Josh Pascal. I don't know if that was his best game, Freddie, but he hasn't had many that are better.
I've never seen a better performance from him, and good for Josh, because everything he's been through, and for us that know him, he is a better person than he is football player, if you can imagine that. He's just a great, tremendous young man. I'm happy for him. He deserved it, and he played like a senior leader. Hey, okay, defense, get on my back.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to win this football game, and just follow my example, and that's what he did, and it was a special night for him.
Freddie, as a former quarterback, I'd like for you to evaluate Will Levis's play so far. Has he met your expectations, or what do you think he needs to improve on moving forward?
Well, I was one of the few that didn't go overboard after the ULM game. I don't think you can judge off that performance. I tempered my evaluation of him, and we've seen a Kentucky passing game. You know, Kentucky's only averaging 94 yards a game through the air in the last two SEC games. So that's certainly something that Kentucky's going to have to get better at, because LSU, you know, let's just be honest here. LSU does not appear like an overly well-coached team, but has players that are going to play in the NFL. Talented football team. But those two coordinators are catching heat. So is Coach Show. So I think LSU is going to come in with their backs against the wall. And, you know, Will Levis is going to have the best game of his career if Kentucky's going to win. And I take the ULM game out because that's, you know, you should have did that. You should have done that against ULM, right?
That's right.
I think Levis is going to have a tremendous step up in production and effectiveness and you know, do a little bit better with his eyes and in the pocket. You know, that pocket is an umbrella. You don't run to the rush. You step up in the pocket, keep your eyes on your progressions, and make the throw. So there's some things to clean up there. But I think Saturday it's going to be critical. You know, actually, there's two players that's going to have a great impact on this football game. Will Levis, again, I think he's going to have to really throw the football because LSU – has its struggles, but they stop the run, okay? And then you have all those pros in the secondary with or without Derek Stingley. So the Kentucky passing game, Kentucky's going to have to score points. Here's why. You can look at this game like a prize fight. LSU is a fighter that's out of condition, that's not very well trained, but has a sledgehammer for a right hook.
Yes.
And that sledgehammer is Kayshon Boutte. He can knock you out with one or two dynamic plays in the game, and this ball game's over. You're knocked out. Where Kentucky is more of a defensive fighter that lacks that knockout punch of an explosive player other than the two stars, Rodriguez and Robinson. So they're going to find some complementary ways to disperse the football around a little bit and find some ways to score points. The third hammer that I'm going to talk about in this game is Cade York. The kicker from LSU is the best in the country.
Wow.
If LSU gets inside the 40, they're going to get 3 points. So those are going to start adding up for the Tigers. So this isn't a game that Kentucky can afford to score 13 offensive points and not rely on a special teams or a defensive score.
Somebody asked Mark Stoops the other day, and he kind of, you know, said yes and no. And you know, I don't know, I want to say he laughed it off. But I'm wondering, is Will Levis leaning too much on Wandale? I mean, I can't tell, you know, you recognize progressions, obviously, but is he leaning too much on Wandale?
You know, without seeing an end zone view, Gabe, I don't see his eyes, so I can't say yes or no. But if it was me, the answer would be yes. I mean, you know, Wandale is an explosive, one of the top four receivers in the country. You're going to try to find him any way possible.
Yeah.
But LSU, from here on out, and Florida did it to an extent, teams are going to start bracketing Wandale.
Oh, yeah.
And just say, okay, we're going to take him away. Y'all can do whatever you want to. You're not going to hurt us with anybody else. Right. So that's going to be how LSU goes about it. Eli Ricks is an All-American corner, is the other corner besides Derek Stingley Jr., who may or may not play. So that's a talented secondary. And, again, Kentucky's going to have to score points in this one. And that, you know, you scored 16 and 13 offensive points in back-to-back SEC games. You're going to have to score a lot more than that. The only reason I'm not worried or concerned about this, I mean, it does grab my attention, is because Mark Stoops said he trusts the plan, the process, and Lynn Cohen to make it happen. If anything, throughout this whole 10-year experience teaches me and everybody else, trust Mark Stoops with what he says because he doesn't lie about it, and what he says normally comes true. So I trust him that the offense is going to be better on Saturday.
Freddie, we've watched this football program take significant steps forward over these past few years, but is there any way to quantify how big of an impact recruiting-wise that this win versus Florida can have? I mean, maybe it's cool jerseys or playing in good environments, but what is it about this past game that could help the program moving forward?
Best $250,000 the university's ever spent. You can't create cool enough flyers, letters, or graphics for recruits better than that $250,000 spent on that what happened at Kroger Field. And I'll point this out. The crowd was the MVP of the game, period. Florida had 8 procedure penalties, okay?
Yeah.
If you talk about that in football terms, that's 8 5-yard tackles for loss.
That's true.
That can be credited to the Big Blue Nation. So, hey, that's a tremendous atmosphere, and it needs to be that way Saturday because LSU has run a lot of check with me plays. So Max Johnson gets the play, comes up to the line, sees what the defense does, looks to the sideline, then has to tell his player, his teammates what to do. In a loud environment, they're not going to be able to do that. So the crowd needs to be equally – it needs to match its energy against LSU as it did against Florida, because it will truly impact the outcome of the game.
Well, that brought me to my next question, and that is not only can the crowd match last week's effort, but can these players – I mean, you know what it's like. You know, you guys upset Georgia. They were top 20. You know, what is it like trying to regain that kind of enthusiasm and mental edge the next week?
You can look at it two different ways. You can use the momentum and having tasted that success and say, man, that was delicious. Let's go get us another fight. That's one way to look at it. Second way to look at it is you're playing Florida again when LSU's across the field. That would not be good. But the practical football side of it, that was an extremely physical football game Saturday night. So it's going to have to be another one this Saturday. LSU runs the football 70 yards per game. So a passing team, I don't think they found their identity. Nobody's happy with the offensive coordinator. There's a lot of ways this LSU team, you know, if Kentucky has success early, that crowd gets into it. I'm not saying it will happen, but there could be some chips cashed in early on the Tiger sideline if momentum swings early for the Cats. So a fast start is important. But I will say this, and you talk about discipline and coaching on both offense and defense, the coordinators, et cetera. LSU is getting outscored 57-31 in the fourth quarter.
Ooh.
57-31.
That's big.
So that tells me a lot about the mindset of that locker room.
Freddie, early in the Florida game, we saw Marquon McCall go down, and it looks like he'll be out for an extended period of time. How did Kentucky fill that void?
Well, Justin Rogers, you know, played 43 snaps. He's a five-star. He played up to that against Florida. He's going to have to do that again. Josiah Hayes also played a lot of snaps at nose, and it's going to be a collective effort. But I will say this, LSU is going to go four wides a lot. Only time they use a tight end is in the passing game. Only runs for 70 yards a game. So there's going to be a lot of nickel and dime packages in. If there is a game that McCall could be out and be okay, it'd be this one. Because LSU is not committed to the run. And, you know, again, if you look back, these two teams are extremely one-sided if you look over the course of the last two games, which are SEC games. Kentucky averages 94 pass yards per game over the last two. LSU averages 40-something rush yards per game over the last two. So one-sided game, whoever, you know, again, Butte is that good that he could win the game just based on talent. The Kentucky secondary could be in the right place, right time, doing everything properly, and he could still make a spectacular play. He is that good of a football player.
Do you think Kentucky's pass rush has been coming around? Because clearly
I do.
A shortage of turnovers, but that sometimes goes hand-in-hand with pass rush.
I do. I don't think the sacks are very high, but Kentucky is pressuring, forcing the issue, and altering the quarterback.
Okay.
And sometimes that's better than a sack because you get into his mind. And, again, the crowd has something to do with that. I mean, I can't get over – that crowd on Saturday, I mean, that's really stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
That's burned a memory in my mind of what it could be and what it can be. And, you know, you get that going, those guys rush the passer with J.J. Weaver and Josh Pascal and those guys. And, you know, you have a corner blitz here and there, safety blitz, whatever. It can get loud and it can get the momentum going. But not a lot of sacks, but a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
Freddie, I think I saw that Kentucky's going to go with the chrome helmets versus LSU. Wouldn't you rather see like a Power K out there, something a little bit more old school?
Yeah, the Power K is very popular, you know, looking back. But now, you know, it's whatever the players want. If it takes chrome helmets to get them going, then I'm all for it. You know, black jerseys, whatever they want to do. So, you know what you're going to get against LSU. I mean, their throwbacks are the same uniform, so it doesn't matter if they're doing modern day or back historical. The uniforms stay the same there.
Well, don't you have the Power K tattooed on you?
Yeah, I do. What would be neat if you wore road uniforms at home this week for Kentucky and forced LSU to go to their purple jerseys, which they never wear.
Yeah, they hate them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. People do that to the Dallas Cowboys because they wear white at home. I always got a kick out of that. I forgot you had that Power K tattooed to yourself. If Kentucky gets to the SEC championship game, I promised Billy I would drink coffee with mayonnaise in it. Maybe if they make it to Will Levis says it's good, but if they make it to Atlanta, Freddie, maybe you're due for another tattoo.
Listen, if they go to Atlanta, I will get a tattoo of something.
Attaboy.
Attaboy. About that game. Yeah.
Hey, always a pleasure talking to you. I love learning football from you. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a great time Saturday night wherever you are.
All right, thanks, Godfather. I'll see you, man.
Appreciate it. Take care, Freddie Maggard.
He just call you the Godfather?
He has called me Godfather for a long time. That is a reference to how long I've been doing this. So there you have it. We're back in just a few. Coming up at the top of the hour, Trevin Wallace joined us here on 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Thanks again to Freddie Maggard for joining us. He was not in the stadium jumping around. Jumping around, he said, was his cat in his living room. They'll be jumping around, and you'll hear the game right here on 630 WLAP with yours truly, Tom Leach, Jeff Pecoro. And I'm wondering, Mr. Rutledge, do you believe, and you haven't been living here all that long, but you're a sports fan, do you believe the Kentucky faithful can match the effort it put in? Not just showing up, but I mean in full throat last Saturday. Can they do it again? Can they come close to doing it again this Saturday?
Yeah, I do. I think that people have a passion for football in this state, Dick, that I don't think a lot of times get the credit that it deserves. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I would say most people care about basketball, but I feel like there's a yearning for not just football, but for football success. And with Kentucky now, what, 5-0?
Yep. The way I see it, they have been saving their strength because they haven't had that many opportunities. Yeah, they haven't had that many opportunities to do this. And if you go to BigBlueInsider.com, you can read what I wrote about how the crowd, and everybody's written about how the crowd's affected the game. But as I pointed out, fans have known this for decades, literally, about how much of a weapon the fan can be to help their team because they've done it in Rupp Arena. They don't sustain it quite as well in Rupp because Rupp is so big and the roof is so high. You know, if Kentucky's going to play at Kansas, if you've ever been to Allen Fieldhouse, one of the features that makes that arena so difficult is the ceiling captures the sound and turns it right around. Hard to maintain that in Rupp Arena, but when Rupp Arena is rocking, you can tell it affects the other team. And I don't mean illegal procedures, but I mean their confidence, their performance, their communication with each other. And that's what the procedure calls were all about, Billy, was they couldn't hear each other. They couldn't hear the quarterback clapping. I don't know if they will match that effort. I think they'll come close.
Yeah, and like Freddie said, you know, if LSU is going to do a lot of check with me plays, then that's going to play even a bigger part into the game. I'm just wondering if alcohol sales to the general public would have ruined the family-friendly environment that has been fostered here.
Are you being cynical?
A little facetious, maybe.
Did they need alcohol last Saturday? I'm not saying it wouldn't help in other games. I think it's something that obviously it needs to be studied. You need to take a look at how things are playing out at other stadiums. There's no question about it. And I do think it's a revenue stream that eventually will come to play in Lexington. I don't know if it'll be under this administration with Mitch Barnhart and Eli Capiluto. But I think eventually it'll happen. But if you have to have alcohol to put together crowds like that? You don't really, what's your football program made out of, you know?
Yeah, I'm just trying to prevent as much binge drinking in the parking lot before I walk into the stadium.
You honestly think that would stop the binge drinking in the end?
Yeah,
the,
I would. No. Yeah, I think it would.
Oh,
I think if I could buy two beers at the game, Dick, I wouldn't do three shots of Fireball before I walked into the gate.
So you've got to be drunk to walk in.
No, I'm just saying if I'm a 20-something year old, that's what I do before a football game.
Well, you are a 20-something year old.
Well, there you go.
So you would be hammered before you walked in.
If I didn't have to be a game day producer.
We need to dive deeper into this.